Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, a scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter, the first 12 verses, Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. And afterwards, the form for the administration of holy baptism will be read. And let us sing from Psalter 422, the eighth stanza. Remember, Lord, how frail I am, how few my years. My life is like a cloud that comes and disappears. Has man then lived in vain, who can in death's dark hour escape the dismal grave with all its ruinous power? O Lord, recall thy love. Thy words to David spoken, sustain us as of yore, by covenant oaths unbroken. The last stanza of Psalter 422.
Congregation, let us first read the law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We repeat Luke 24, the first 12 verses. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Thus for the reading of God's word, let us now turn to the back of a Psalter book, and we'll read the form for the administration of baptism. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesses and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopt us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him, love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new life, in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish mine covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testifies with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formally commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, Therefore, infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children therein when they shall arrive to the years of discretion. Thus far.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory and to our comfort and to the edification of his church, and let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast according to thy severe judgment punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family. Thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon this child and incorporate her by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, and that she may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, that she may daily follow him, joyfully bearing her cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that she may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. While the child is brought in, let us sing from Psalter 275, the fifth stanza. The fourth stanza of 275. As one lays a garment by, thou wilt change in the starry sky, like a vesture worn and old, but thy years shall ne'er be told. And what follows in the last stanza of Psalter 275.
Thank you.
I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end, and not out of custom or superstition. That it then may be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to the following questions. First, and whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore, as members of his church, ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see this child, when come to years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause her to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Mr. and Mrs. Mike Clausen? Dear parents, in this past week, we have commemorated together Good Friday. And in this day, it is our intention and also our privilege to commemorate together Easter. What is now the relation between Good Friday and Easter and baptism? We have read something of that together in this morning also from our form, and that comes out of the Word of God. That is the words of the Apostle Paul to the Romans, which we can find in the sixth chapter, in the second and third verses. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Thus, he speaks about being baptized into. What does that mean? We read in God's word that the children of Israel, they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. That meant that they were made disciples, or that they were made followers of Moses. They went after him in the wilderness. The Apostle Paul, he asked at one point, have you been baptized unto Paul, or in the name of Paul? That means he is asking, have you been made a disciple of Paul? Have you been made a follower of Paul? Then he said, no. Then it is necessary that you are made a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And thus it is necessary that we are baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. But the Apostle Paul then says that we are baptized into his death. Thus, that means that then it is pointing to the partaking of the fruits or the benefits that are coming from that death of Christ. We have heard of those benefits in all the weeks that have gone by, the benefits of the sacrifices, and they are all the benefits that are flowing out of the death of Christ. But then Paul continues and he says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Thus he speaks about not only being baptized into his death, but then he also speaks about being buried with him by that baptism into death. What is that? What is then buried? Then buried, he says, is sin. Sin is buried. That means that when Christ has gone into death and when he has laid himself in the grave, then he has brought a complete end to the sin of his church. So that when he is arising again from the dead, then he is no longer the bearer of that sin. That sin that is laid behind in the grave. Thus, when the apostle, he is speaking about rising also with him. And then he is speaking about rising to a new life. And what is that new life? That is now a life without sin. That is the end. That is now the purpose of the Lord. And that is not realized in the life of God's children until their own body will one day be laid in their grave, and when they also one day will arise without sin unto salvation. That is now the instruction. When your child will come to the years of discretion, what is now lying in that blessing of holy baptism. And we hope that the Lord may give the experience of it for yourselves, that you may be able also to speak of it unto your children. May the Lord remember you. Congregation, after the amen of baptism, we ask you to stand and to sing Psalter 425, stanza 5. Ariana Wilina Grace, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yeah. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins. Through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern this baptized child by Thy Holy Spirit, and that she may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that she then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy which Thou hast shown to her and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil and his whole dominion, to the end that she may eternally praise and magnify Thee, and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, and the one only true God. Strengthen also these parents, that they may receive that grace, that they may instruct this child, when arriving to the years of discretion, with their other children, with which Thou hast blessed them abundantly. Give them to feel day by day the great responsibility and also the impossibility from the side of men, that they may need Thy grace, and that their inner chamber may be filled very often, and that they could not do without Thee and the instruction of Thy Holy Spirit for this most important labor, and that they may be given to bring up their children for Thee and not for this world. Do remember also the extended family, also the grandparents. Wilt Thou humble their hearts, when they may see once again that Thou dost bring also their grandchildren under the administration of word and sacrament. Oh, that their hope may then be in Thee and in that promise that Thou hast given unto Abraham of old, when Thou hast said, I will be a God unto Thee, and to Thy seed after Thee. Do look upon all Thy children. Oh, do give them in this morning also in this Thy holy sacrament to go out with true faith and holy longings for the fulfillment of Thy promises, that Thou would extend Thy kingdom amongst us, amongst the entire congregation. For Thou hast given us to live under the preaching of Thy holy word. O Lord, that Thou may extend then Thy kingdom, and that it may not be only for those that are far away, but that it may also be for us and our dear children, that we may see not only an outward growing in the midst of our flock, but that there may also be that growth that is going down deeply, and it is bringing forth a fruit unto Thee. Lord, wilt Thou convert us? Because from our side, though we are baptized, then we will not seek after Thee. And then we wish to commemorate in this day the resurrection of thy dear son. Oh, could it please thee to give the application in this very day, that there may be those that are resurrected unto a new life. Lord, that there may be joy in heaven in this day over one sinner that repenteth. Look upon each and every one of us, keeping us from all sin and evil this day, driving out the buyers and the sellers, and drawing our hearts into that blessed communion with thee. Be with all that were not able to gather with us, the afflicted and the sick ones, her also that has been in and out of the hospital in this week. Lord, thou hast brought her home again, but her age that is also climbing, and the difficulties of the body, wilt thou remember her in all of her needs? And wilt thou look upon those that must go into the hospital? Wilt thou remember them when there must be testing, when there must be treatment, when there must be surgeries? Thou knowest everything. Lord, look on those that mourn, that have stood in the day of yesterday around an open grave. One day, then that grave shall be opened again, and they shall come forth therefrom. Oh, that thou may give strength unto those that are left behind. Wilt thou comfort all that mourn? Wilt thou teach us to number our days? Wilt thou give us a good hour and a good Sabbath day to gather in thy house? Oh, could it please thee to bless us with heavenly and spiritual blessings, which from our side are so undeserved. And wilt thou give us also a little strength in this morning, that we may be able to stand and to bring thy word for a few moments. And could it please thee to show thyself, forgive all our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 202, stanzas 1 and 2. In doubt and temptation, I rest, Lord, in thee. My hand is in thy hand, and thou carest for me. My soul with thy counsel through life thou wilt guide, and afterward make me in glory abide. We prayed this morning for Mrs. Jenny Van Heerden, who was in and out of the emergency room several times in this week and may come home again. The following persons have been examined by the consistory and wish to make public confession of faith. In Fort McLeod, Justin John Brunn, Amber Lynn Brunn, Andrew Less, Alana Nicole Outshorn. In Calgary, Janina Stouchesdijk, Wesley Richard Van Harberden. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory by April 29th. The Lord willing, confession of faith will take place here in Fort McLeod on May 3rd in the morning service, and in Calgary on May the 10th. In the morning service. The last collection today is for the Bethesda Care Home, 202, 1 and 2. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion of God's word which was read to you, Luke 24, and thereof verses 5 through 8. Luke 24, verses 5 through 8. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. So far the words of our text. Unexpected life on the other side of death. First, for sorrowing women. And second, for a sorrowing church. Unexpected life on the other side of death. First, for sorrowing women. And second, for a sorrowing church. Congregation, it is Easter. And on the day of Easter, then we may commemorate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead. A resurrection. What is that? That is life after death. That is life from the dead. Do we believe that there is life after death? Many do not believe this. Therefore, they reject the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, they also reject the resurrection of mankind. We read of resurrections in the Bible. And on those days of resurrection, then there was experienced by men an unknown gladness, an unknown joy. When we think of Elisha and how that he has raised from the dead that son of the Shunammite, then we cannot imagine how much gladness did prevail in that home. And how glad was that mother, that widow of Nain, when the Lord Jesus came, as she was bringing her son to the grave, and it stopped the procession, that he may raise him from the dead. How great was that gladness that prevailed in the home of Martha and Mary on that day that the Lord Jesus did call forth Lazarus from the dead. Yesterday, then there was also a family that has stood round about the grave. What now would that have been if that dear mother, boys and girls, that dear mother, if that mother had been raised from the dead, what do you think would have prevailed in that household? for those children, for that husband, for those parents. But I was not, and I will not be, because the dead, they now wait until the last day. Today, we may commemorate Easter, and that is that we may commemorate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. That is a day of unknown joy. That is a day of unknown gladness in the life of those women, in the life of the disciples, and in the life of that true church of God. And yet we see these women. Are they rejoicing? Far from it. They are weeping. They are mourning. They are in distress. Say they did not know it yet. That is right. They didn't know it yet. Neither do they realize that their sorrow will soon be turned into joy. And they do not realize that their mourning, that will very soon be turned into dancing. But not only do they not know it yet, they also do not expect it. That is different. They are also not looking for it. No, it is just the opposite, that they are expecting the Lord Jesus always now to remain in that grave. Therefore, they have brought what, children? They have brought their spices. They have brought their ointments. And they are going to anoint that body of the Lord Jesus in the grave. What a love. What a missing that is living in the hearts of those women. Then they will pay their last respects. And then they will go home again. And then it will be finished. See them on the way to the grave. And they are coming closer and closer to that grave. And then suddenly, they realize something. Suddenly, they think of something that they have not thought of before. And when they are coming to approach that grave, then suddenly their thoughts are going back. And they remember that there has been a large stone placed at that grave. And so one says, who shall roll away for us the stone that is upon that sepulcher? They had not thought of it. Had they thought of it, they had perhaps never begun their journey. Had they thought of it, they had perhaps brought some of the disciples with them that they could remove that stone from them, but their minds had never gone there. That is grief. And they are overwhelmed with grief. And then they are not thinking of everything. But it is also the providence of the Lord that He is bringing them unto the grave in this way. And we read that they are coming to that grave. And when they are coming to the grave, then they see that that stone is rolled away from the sepulcher. What a surprise. They do not understand it. But we see them approaching. And we see them even entering in unto that sepulcher. And they are looking. And, well, they cannot find what they are looking for. And they see not there the body of the Lord Jesus. how distressed they are, how full of sorrow, but also how much fear is entering now into their hearts. And then suddenly that fear that is increasing ever more. Why? Because we read, "Behold, two men in shining garments. Oh, they are the angels of the Lord." And then how fearful they become when they are standing, as it were, before the holy majesty of God. And when they see something of the glory of God in those ministering spirits who are standing daily before his throne and who come to appear unto men here upon this earth, then we read that they are bowing down with their faces unto the ground. Those angels, they have a message for those women. It is a heavenly message. It is a divine message. Actually, it is somewhat of a rebuke. We say a very, very gentle rebuke. David, he says, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." How gentle is the Lord when he comes to rebuke his people? How is that, parents, with us when we have to rebuke our children? Then do we follow that way that the Lord has with his people? Then he is not harsh, no. And he is not hard, no. But he is so gentle with his children. And so we read here that these angels, they are coming to these women with a very gentle rebuke. And what is that rebuke? "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" We say a rebuke. Those angels, they say, "You seek Jesus. That is good. But now we have a question for you. And that question is, why are you seeking Jesus here? You're in the wrong place." Children, maybe sometimes you go to the grave because it can be that you have a sister or a brother or a mother or a father that is lying in that grave, a grandmother, a grandfather. And then there are times that you go unto that grave and you go there to meditate. You go there to see where that loved one, the body that is lying. That will happen now sometimes with that family that has stood there yesterday, you can be sure. Then they will go sometimes, and they will stand together around that grave. And then they will remember. But now if you are looking for one another who are still alive, then you do not go to the grave. No, you say, "Then I will not find my brother or my sister, and that is still living. And then I will not find him there at that grave." Then you would never go there to look. And now that angel that has asked these women, "Why are you here? Why are you here? You are looking here in the wrong place. Why are you looking for the Lord Jesus in the grave?" because he is alive. You say, yeah. But those women, they did not know that he was alive. And those women, they thought that he was dead. That is true. However, those women should have known. They should have known that the Lord Jesus was alive. How should they have known? Well, the Lord Jesus told them. He told them beforehand that on that third day, he was going to rise again from the dead. And the angels, they now remind those women what the Lord Jesus had said. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. How is it? Now that those women, after the Lord had told them so clearly, so plainly, what was going to happen to him, how is it now that those women, on that third day, they are going down to the grave, and they are looking for the Lord Jesus in the grave? How is that? Well, we read, and they remembered his words. What does that mean? That means they had forgotten his words. They had forgotten. But we ask, why did they forget? Because you say they are not words that they should easily have forgotten. If your mother, boys and girls, says, I go away a little while, but I come right back, you don't forget that. No, you are looking for her to come back again. But they forgot. How is it that they forgot? Well, in the first place, it is because they did not understand those words. And why did they not understand them? They did not understand them because their expectations, they were so different than what the Lord Jesus had been saying. It is true, the Lord Jesus spoke about a resurrection. But before there can be a resurrection, there must be what? There must be death. And now the Lord Jesus, he is speaking about death, and the disciples do not understand it. Why? Because death, that means a decreasing. But the disciples, they are looking for the exact opposite way. They are looking for a way of increasing. And that is the reason that they could not receive and they could not understand the words of the Lord Jesus. They did not understand that life that lay on the other side of death. And in their carnality, they were looking also for an earthly kingdom. And we do not receive an earthly kingdom in that same way that we receive that heavenly kingdom. Thus, that is in the first place, they did not understand the words of the Lord Jesus. In the second place, they did not believe the words of the Lord Jesus, because it is possible that we don't understand, but that we still receive, that we still believe those words. But they did not believe it. Why did they not believe it? Oh, they did not want to believe it. There was a resistance. There is a resistance against that way that the Lord Jesus says that he will be traveling, and that way that they would have to follow him. Resistance, be it far from the Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Thus, the flesh that has no desire to go in that way that the Lord Jesus is speaking about, in that way of decreasing in order to receive the prize. No, that flesh wants to do the opposite. It wants to go in that way of increasing more and more, and so to receive the prize at the end of that way. And now it is because of that unbelief that those disciples and that those women, that they are so unprepared. And when that time of the death of the Lord Jesus is coming, it is because of that unbelief that those women, they are on this day so sorrowful. It is because of that unbelief that those women, they are not looking for the resurrection. We call it Good Friday. But those disciples and those women on that day, they had certainly not thought that that was a good day. If only they had wholeheartedly received the words of the Lord Jesus, of their master, they would have had so much comfort in that time of the death of Christ. A little while, and ye shall not see me. Again a little while, and ye shall see me. And they understood not what he said. What is this that he said? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And a little while again, and ye shall see me. We cannot tell what he said. And then there were things that the Lord Jesus even did not say. And why did he not say them? He says, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Oh, they could not bear what? They could not bear that way of decreasing, of going into death. Therefore, at the edge of that garden, he dismissed them all. He said, let these now go their way. And he would have to go through that death. How? Alone. When will he see them again? He will see them again on the other side of death. Unexpectedly. And then he will remind them of his words. And he will tell them what he has said unto them. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day arise again. And how shall it be then? Then they shall remember his words. And then it shall become such a wonder to those disciples and to those women. What shall be that wonder? That will be that life that is on the other side of death. But that is not only for those women. That is also for you and me. But let us sing first. Psalter 29, stanzas 2 and 3. I keep before me still the Lord whom I have proved. At my right hand he guards from ill, and I shall not be moved. 2 and 3 of Psalter number 29. Unexpected life on the other side of death. That was not only congregation for those women, and for those sorrowing women, but that is also for God's church. That is for His sorrowing church, even unto the end of the world. That is, for the most part, a sorrowing church that is more in the valleys than it is upon the mountains. That is the reality. And while they are here upon this world, that is a church that is led by the Lord in a way of dying. Do you see those women, young people? Are you ever jealous of those women? Do you see how blessed that those women are? Do you have also a desire that you may be numbered among that people? And yet on that morning, they were weeping. They were sorrowful. How did it begin with them? It began with them with great expectation, as it is in the life of all God's children. And when the disciples, they were first called, and when their hopes, they are high and many. But as time went on, in those 3 years, that more and more those disciples and those women, and then they have said, it is going wrong. It is going very, very wrong. And it has gone so wrong that it ended in death. But what does the Lord say? He says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Young people, we wish to show you one simple thing this morning, and we hope you may take that with you out of the house of God this morning, and that you may never forget it your whole life long. And what is it? That is the truth that we read in the Word of God, that unexpected life that is found on the other side of death. Will you not forget it your whole life long? Solomon, he says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But it is also just the opposite. There is a way that seemeth wrong unto a man, but the end thereof, they are the ways of life. Oh, do you remember what Jacob said when he said, all these things are against me? But was it really so? Where are now the first breathings of spiritual life? They are in regeneration. They are in that new birth. What did that father of the prodigal say? He said, this my son was dead and is alive again. What is that the fruit of? That is the fruit of the resurrection of Christ. That is the first unexpected life that is lying on the other side of death. Does a man seek for it? No. He ought to seek for it. And he has some fits and some spurts of religion. But he does not seek for it because he is dead. It is an unexpected life. And when that life begins, oh, then that blessed man, he is bathed in tears. Tears of what? Tears of sorrow. Tears of missing. Because of what? Because of love. What is the experience of that man who begins to live? That I lie in the midst of death. That is that divine mystery. And what does he seek? He is seeking life. 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 Eternal life. But how many things that man does not understand, because he thinks that life is at the end of a road, of a way of increasing. And what does he not see? He does not see nor understand that life that is lying on the other side of death. Why does he not know this? Is he not told this? Certainly he has told this Sabbath after Sabbath day. And when he may hear at least something, if the Lord may give it to his servants, of that way wherein the Lord is leading all his people, and what the Lord Jesus is saying unto his church, he that will save his life shall lose it, and he that will lose his life the same even he shall save it. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That is that life, and that is lying on that other side of death. And his ears are deaf. Deaf. Why? Because he does not want to believe it. Because it is a way, congregation, that is so against our flesh, that way of decreasing, that people, they think that they are going to go in a way of increasing, but it makes it so difficult for them. When the Lord is bringing them in his way, and when they have to walk day by day in that way of death, that they are not expecting this. And because they are not expecting this, they are not looking for that life that is lying on the other side of death. And that is why that life, when it comes, that is coming so unexpectedly in the life of his children. Their whole life, that is a dying life. Oh, then especially in the beginning of that way, and that they think that life is that at the end of all their good efforts. It is at the end of all of their good works. It is at the end of their repentance. But what do they have to experience? They cannot find it there. No, they are looking and they are looking and they are looking for it. But they cannot find it. That is now a dying life. That they have to die to all their own efforts. Is that nice for their flesh? No. But they have to come into death with it all. They need to come into death with themselves, with their own wisdom, with their own righteousness, with all their own strength, with all of their own efforts. And on the other side of that death is life. Oh, when he may show himself, when he may reveal himself, and then they see that it is not in their own work, but that it is in his work, then they may view the way of life. Is that then finished for them? No. That way of death? No. Why not? Oh, because they are slow learners. Because then they are also cleaving to something else. And what is that? That is their own experiences, all the gifts, the spiritual gifts that the Lord has given to them in their life. And then the Lord has to lead them also in that same way of dying. That is no easy way. When their tears dry up, and when they feel something again of that hardness of their heart, and when the Lord is hiding his face, and then they begin to cling. Cling to what? Cling to what has happened already so many years ago. Because then they will try to find their life in it. But congregation, it does not work. The Lord, he is stripping it away. And why? Because if the Lord will bring that people to stand before the bar of his justice, then all their experiences and all their gifts, they all are insufficient. Then they have to die. And then they cannot die. But what have they to do? They have to agree that the Lord is right, that they die, and that they perish. That they perish forever. Oh, then they must lose not only their work, but they must lose also their life. And what is now on the other side of that death, on the other side of that death, is life. Is life. Deliver him from going down into the pit. I have found a ransom, that is to receive life out of the mouth of the judge himself, based upon what? Based upon the fulfillment of justice that may be seen in the day of the resurrection of Christ, that it is completely satisfied. Are that people done then? Or when they have seen by revelation, when they have received that great blessing even of the application, no, they are not done then. And why not? Because Paul, he says, I have a body of death. That's what he had to experience in the way of sanctification. And then he had to say, who will deliver me from it? From the body of this death. That is the grief that I am not able to do as my new man desires. What is now on the other side of that death? Oh, congregation, that is life. That is life. That is eternal life. What shall it now be for that people when they may lay down this body of death? Oh, then they may be received into that eternal life. Oh, how hard it is for that people to look beyond that death, to look beyond that death unto that life that is now awaiting for them. But we heard it last Sunday from our beloved catechism, that this my body that shall be raised, and by the power of Christ, and it shall be taken up unto Christ my head. Oh, then they shall follow him. He is but the first fruits, and they shall follow him into that inner sanctuary behind the veil. And then that blessed comfort of that article of that life everlasting. Oh, that since I now feel in my heart the beginning of those eternal joys after this life, I shall inherit perfect salvation that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man to conceive, and therein and to praise God forever. Because I live, he says, ye shall live also. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O bless thy word. Instruct us in that way wherein thou leadest all thy people, and forgive thou all our sins. Remember those that walk in the way of dying, for thou knowest all their discouragements, and that they cannot see the life that is beyond the grave. But wilt thou lead them into all thy truth, forgiving all that is sinful, and wilt thou teach us all from above to forsake this world and all that which is called life here below, that it may become death unto us, and that we may seek that life that shall remain forever. All the fruits of the death, of the burial, and of the resurrection of thine only begotten Son, bring us home with thy blessing, and give us desire and the ability to be together in this afternoon. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 420 stanzas 2 and 4. 2 and 4 of 420. But let the righteous blessed of yore joy in their God as ne'er before. Faith's victory achieving, their joy shall then unbounded be. Who see God's face eternally, their heart's desire receiving. 2 and 4 of 420. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.